Well, we finally made it to Ohio State Week.
I know we had to slog through some stuff, but
here we are.
Well, it's a huge week in college football. It's the best week of the year, and this is the crown jewel of it.
And here's our friend Joe Harrington. I'm hearing rumors of something called the Heisman House.
That is a house that is occupied by that is fictionally occupied by Heisman winners. I was going to say that's occupied by fictional Heisman winners, but they actually won the award, unlike someone you're talking to. Yeah. And then they fictionally occupy a house. I actually just I called Marcus to see if I could just crash on the couch for an hour and a half, and he's like, "Yeah, cool, no problem. Just don't get anything dirty."
What is the Heisman House? And is that, are you going to be there?
I am going to be there, yeah, from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. It's like, what's the best way to describe it? An activation? Essentially they just bring the Heisman House to, I think they have 6 locations through the college football season this year, and one of the games they chose was Oregon, Ohio State. It's a fan activation, Q&A, fun pictures, all the goodness.
So, wait, so there's a bunch of Heisman guys and fans come and meet them, and you?
No. There's just me, the guy who lost, and then fans come and do like college football stuff at the house. Yeah, no. They should call it the not Heisman House because, I didn't win.
Do you need the runner up to the runner up to the runner up of the 2000 Remington Award there as well? Because that is about as far away from the non Heisman House as you can get.
Wait a minute. So you were the runner up to the runner up to you finished fourth.
I think I finished fourth or fifth. I may have been.
Don't be inflating your losingness now. Yeah, okay. Did you finish fourth or did you finish fifth?
I think I was the runner up to the runner up to the runner up to the runner up. I think I finished fifth. But
okay. Now you're just a total loser because those of us who finished fourth, you're not invited. No. You're not cool enough to be at the fictional Remington House. No. Because you finished fifth. Yeah. You have to finish fourth.
Yeah. I'm out.
You're out. I've told you the moment when I knew that I wasn't actually going to win the Heisman story, right?
Refresh.
We were at the opening night dinner. So we had just all flown in from Orlando for the College Football Awards. And then it's that Friday night before the Saturday dinner. And they introduced everybody. They introduced Eric Crouch from the University of Nebraska. They introduced Ken Dorsey from the University of Miami. They introduced Rex Grossman from the University of Florida. And they introduced Joey Harrington from Oregon State University.
That's
president of the Downtown Athletic Club stand up there and says, "Please welcome Joey Harrington from Oregon State University." And the crowd was like, we know that's not right. And I looked around and I was like, wait, so this whole weekend is free drinks? And I will have another one of those because I now know I'm not winning. So you know what? Party on you guys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's... that's one of those, you just start drinking. It's a open bar and cheers.
Takes, yeah, but you're so right. That's
takes
a really,
the pressure off.
That's a good tell.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you ain't winning.
Yeah, and everybody's like, how was the Heisman weekend? What was it like? I was like, man, it was an awesome party. Like, Kenny and Rex and Eric, they were like all, nervous. Like, am I going to win? Am I going to lose? I was like, dude, let's have a blast. Like, this is going to be awesome. That's what happens. That's probably why I was invited to the Heisman House, because they felt bad that they screwed things up 23 years ago.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun for you. So obviously you're going to the game.
I am going to the game. And it was one of those things where I was going down for the appearance, and I was like, well, I guess I might as well just stay for the game, right?
Yeah.
Can't just drive all the way down there and then not go. So, yeah, we're going to stick around and see what happens.
So what happens then? Do you just, do the Ducks just give you tickets? Do they put you up in a suite? Like, how does it work?
Well, I'm not going to divulge those kind of state secrets to you. I called a buddy in the athletic department and just bought some tickets through them. So, yeah, I was like, I'll go to StubHub. And like, no, we've got a few extras here. So normally I would have just kind of gone to StubHub and said, hey, what do you got available? Yeah.
This one, though, I think those might be slightly inflated. Something tells me that this is one of the more expensive tickets in aughts and hits history.
Yeah, you know, I think ticket prices have come down a bit. But, I haven't been. You know what's funny is I haven't been to a game since COVID.
Oh, really? Really?
I haven't been to Autzen Stadium, and that's why I felt okay with being like, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to be in town, and, I'm not asking for free tickets, but if there's something around, you know, I'd love to buy the tickets like everybody else. But yeah, because every fall I've been on crutches since COVID. Yeah. And well, so, and you got kids. I don't exactly want to be crutching around, you know, up and down the stairs, and this is the first year that I'm actually walking, so, hey.
Well, and you got kids like soccer games and stuff, and that stuff keeps you busy.
You're a dad.
It does.
You're a dad.
It does.
It looks like it has come down because I want to say at the start of the week, it was $275 to get in the game for a pair, and right now it looks like maybe $195 without fees. $195 will get you in the nosebleeds.
With a seat, with an actual place for your butt? Because I was seeing $200 as standing room.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's not much difference. So standing room is, you can go in the absolute nosebleeds or standing. So with fees, you're probably looking, you know, more like $240, $250 a ticket to get in. So it's come down a little bit, but not much.
Okay, so here's a question for you that all of that we debated very heavily on Talking Ducks to Thursday afternoons at 3:00 on Root Sports. Is this the biggest game in Autzen history?
Yes.
Yes. To me, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this the biggest game in Oregon history?
No, I don't even think it's close.
I agree with that.
Okay. What if they win this game and then stumble the rest of the season? Is it still the biggest game in Autzen history?
See, that kind of goes back to...
Like, I'm going to say no there.
Yeah, I'm going to say no because it's like what happened a couple years back when they beat Ohio State at Ohio State. But, you know, you got to capitalize on that. To me, and we were discussing this, I don't remember if it was last week or at the beginning of this week. I think the only thing that defines Oregon anymore, I think these little... I'm not saying this is a little game, but the, you know, beating Michigan, beating Oklahoma, these Ohio State, you've been there. To me, the only thing that this program is a defining game anymore is winning a national championship. I mean, you've played for two, you destroyed the defending national champs in the Rose Bowl. You've beaten Ohio State at Ohio State. You've beaten, you've beaten Michigan, you've beaten Tennessee on the road. I mean, you've played these games. So with the exception of maybe Bama or Georgia, but they're in the same class as Ohio State who you've beat. I just don't think there's anything left for this program to prove outside of winning the whole thing. So while it's a big game, I think it's the biggest game that we've seen at Autzen, 2-3, win or lose, it doesn't define anything to me until you put a ring on your finger, because that's where this program has established itself.
I could not agree more. Yeah. I mean, I heard an interesting argument from our friend and colleague, George Reister, who said that there's a difference between the game in 21, was it 21, 22, that where we went to the Shoe and beat them. That win carried more significance because we truly hadn't had that type of win yet.
I think that's right.
Even though, you know, we stumbled down, you know, stumbled a couple weeks later, that game at the Shoe is different than this game at Autzen. And I would agree. I don't know that I would agree with the importance of the game at the Shoe, but I would agree with the, I don't want to say lack of importance, but the most important thing is winning a national championship, and that's it. And that can be a cause, even if you lose on Saturday, which I don't think they're going to, and I hope they don't, you can still win the national championship this year and lose tomorrow at Autzen.
Yeah. Correct.
And vice versa. You can beat Ohio State, and then if Ohio State beats you in the playoff, who gives two blanks that you beat them at Autzen Stadium? It's like when Georgia and Bama played in the SEC title game, and Bama got them, and then they played again in the playoff. Georgia wins, goes on and wins a national championship. Alabama doesn't get to sit there and be like, well, I guess we won the SEC championship game. Cool. Welcome to the my national title ring. Like, so it's a huge game, but I just think for both schools, certainly Ohio State and Oregon has achieved this, regular season is just a vehicle to put yourself in position to get to the thing that the only thing that matters for top 10 programs.
I agree. I mean, and yeah.
Well, it's really
which begs the question. Ooh. Then why I'm hesitating to even ask the question because I know the answer. Like, you know, why do we put such importance on it? But I know why, because it's freaking awesome. And it's like, this is the best. Like, this is a number two versus number three, the biggest game at Autzen ever. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, we could lose and still go on and win the national championship.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like, you know, when Michigan came to Autzen in 2003, the program had something to prove. When Oklahoma.
20 years ago.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. I mean, it's like the evolution of program defining wins that you have them all, except for, as Suk said, the championship, right? So you win that game, you say, okay, we play some pretty damn good football out here out west, right? Okay. So then you host Oklahoma a couple years later, you win that game. Then it's like, okay, well, you win a couple of, they win a couple big postseason games, a couple Rose Bowls. You know, they beat Wisconsin and they beat Florida State in the playoff. That was a program defining win. You play for a couple of titles. You win on the road at Ohio State a couple of years ago. It's like, what other program defining wins do you need? This one wouldn't be one. The two things that are cool about this weekend, one, it's just going to be a badass atmosphere, and this is why you get tickets to watch college football. I mean, it doesn't get any better than Ohio State coming to Autzen. The crowd's going to be crazy, and that's a blast. The second thing is you just get to there's no better litmus test to see where you truly are than these guys coming into your house. We don't really know what Oregon is so far, and you're damn sure going to find out tomorrow. And those are the two fun things about it. But it's nothing more than that, based on everything you guys said about the postseason. And you know, you can lose it and still have a tremendous year.
You literally hit the nail on the head. This is going to be an amazing atmosphere to celebrate Oregon's, you know, the rise of Oregon's football program at Autzen Stadium. And at the same time, it's not going to be, this game itself is not going to be a season-defining moment.
Well, and it's a little bit like the NCAA basketball tournament in that these sorts of games, only one team gets to cut down the nets at the end of the year, right? And, you know, in pro sports, like if you don't win the Super Bowl, you don't win the World Series, then your season's a wash, right? It's just disappointment. And I think one of the cool things about college is it's not necessarily that cut and dry. If you make a run to the Final Four, you may be disappointed, but it's a hell of a thing. And I think some of these games have a little bit of that in that just winning national titles is really hard. So if you don't win a national title, but you look back on this year and let's say you win, you know, 11, 12 games, maybe you win a playoff game, but you fall short. While that will be disappointing, you'll look back at games like this and these sorts of wins. Not if you fall on your face and you lose four more regular season games, but games like this can define a season if you ultimately don't get your goal. And, you know, chances are you're not getting your goal because winning national titles is really, really stinking hard. So I've never done it.
I'm having a hard time buying that one.
No, you don't buy that? Let me ask you this. Go back to the year that you won the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Okay.
You're telling me, so, and I know it's different now that we have a playoff, but you didn't get your goal. You thought you guys were good enough to win a national title. And you know, and maybe you were, maybe you won't. You'll never get that opportunity. But you're telling me that that season is a failure because you lost the game that kept you out of that. You don't think that looking back on that year and significant wins, including the Fiesta Bowl, didn't, while it may not be the year you wanted, you're telling me that that doesn't put a different spin on that year and the memories that you had?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just think of, like, I think of the Fiesta Bowl as like a singular moment, right? Mm-hmm. Had we lost that Fiesta Bowl, I wouldn't look back on the Arizona State game, or I wouldn't look back on the Wisconsin game. And even though we won the Fiesta Bowl, I don't look back on the Wisconsin game and say, God, wasn't that a great win against a national powerhouse? Like, I think of the Fiesta Bowl, and I think of the fact that we won the game. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know.
You didn't get what you wanted, though. You didn't. You didn't.
We didn't. No. You're right. And so to a certain extent, that season to me will always fall short. It was great. It was a fun ride. It helped propel the program to where it is now. It helped people realize that it was possible, that it was feasible for, you know, a team that had been in the bottom third of the Pac-10 for the better part of a half a century, that it was possible for us to compete. But I look back on that season even still and say, damn, one game. Yeah. Like, we were one game short.
Yeah. That's interesting, because that win against Colorado, that was a program-defining win.
Absolutely.
That was a big moment in program history, well, but to hear you say that is interesting, because you were there, you played it, and to you, it's like
I just wonder,
left undone.
I know we got a break, and I don't know anyone on that team. I'd be interested to know, to talk to, you know, a Dunze or, you know, Michael Penix. You want to talk about coming up one game short, right? Michigan. I wonder, when they look back on that, beating Oregon twice— You know, that's a regular season and a conference title game. Huge matchup. Biggest rivalry for either school. I wonder what they think of that season. Because I don't know. I didn't play in that. But I something tells me that winning those two Oregon games were significant in the way you feel about that year. Even if you didn't get to where you wanted to go, you didn't win a national title, I think beating Oregon twice, I think changes the way maybe they feel about that season than if they had lost one of those games and still got to the Michigan game and lost. I think it changes the way you think of that season, but I'm in left field on that.
I think I can tell you how they feel about that season, which was, man, that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
But
damn, we were one game short.
Yeah. You probably always think about that one game. All right, we got a break. Joey Harrington is with us here, courtesy of Mods PDX. When we get back, where is the patented Joey Harrington worry meter set at heading into tomorrow? And how do the Ducks attack what could be the best defense in the country? That's next on The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. Let's get into the game, his thoughts. Where is the patented and exclusive to The Fan Joey Harrington worry meter set at going into tomorrow?
Five and a half.
That's not bad.
That's pretty confident.
We had this discussion, if you're sitting at, you know, 6, 7, 8, it's like, oh God, we're in trouble. If you're sitting at, you know, 2, 3, 4, and, you know, 5 is kind of that middle of the road. The only reason I'm at 5.5 is because Oregon has not, from start to finish, put together the type of game that it's going to need in order to beat Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, the defensive performance against Michigan State, I mean, that was incredible. I mean, I have been waiting to see that defensive line play like that all year. I mean, that was exactly what you need. The running game against UCLA was incredible. Dylan Gabriel throwing the ball against Oregon State, fantastic. they can do all of those things. And, you know, they can, I'm actually kind of encouraged, you know, I was talking with someone about this, like, Dylan is going to have to, at some point this season, put the team on his shoulders, take a risk, make a throw, right, be the difference maker. The fact that he threw two interceptions in the red zone last week, to some people, is a little nerve-wracking. To me, it's like, okay, he's pushing that boundary a little bit to know how far, like, how close can I come to the edge before I fall off? All right, I'm pushing, I fell off. Great, let me take a step back, right? He knows where that edge is now for me. The reason I keep looking at this Ohio State team. You said coming into the break that this may be the best defense that that Oregon will see. Maybe the best defense in the country, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. There are some that
Tell
think
me why.
It is.
Tell me why.
Here's the thing. Like, this whole game, you could just put a big old, if you had to put a parentheses around this game, it's that we don't know because no one's played anybody. But
right.
When you look at most metrics right now, and now, to be fair, the best offense that Ohio State's played is probably Iowa, and Iowa doesn't have
a
good offense.
That's what I was going to say. Iowa.
But when you look at the number, I could say the same thing about Oregon, though, and Boise State carved them up. So I think that's what all you can point to is who you've played so far. And coming into the year, they said this could be a really scary defensive unit. And so far against the teams they've played, it's arguably the best statistical defense in the country. That's where that argument comes from, is preseason expectations have been met far, but they've played nobody.
Okay, but here's the thing. Who, and maybe I'm wrong in this, who, if you're playing Eastern Michigan, right, who they played, or Central Michigan, and who, I mean, they played a couple teams at the beginning of the year, and I can make this argument, you can, I'm very aware you can make this argument against Oregon as well, except for the breakout of the defensive line in Jordan Birch in the last game.
Sure.
Who on that defense for Ohio State is wreaking havoc?
Well,
they have one player in the top 50 in the country for both tackles for loss and sacks. One player.
Yeah. Well, Caleb Downs is probably their best player on the defensive side of the ball, and he's a secondary guy. And
but
then,
wouldn't you expect a defense that's supposed to be the best in the country to have some sort of standout against those smaller schools the first couple weeks? Right? Wouldn't you expect them to have a standout game against Michigan State? And yes, I will say they played phenomenal as a unit. But I think of so many times that these type of games are decided by a big-time player in a big-time moment. And that's what keeps leading me back to, like, you know, I love this, and this is probably just like this romanticized idea that I have of, like, game tied in the fourth quarter, and here comes Jordan Birch around the edge. Right, the guy that we've been waiting to see break out this year, and you know, and he did exactly that. Like, I love the idea of playing team defense, but I haven't yet seen, and I'm sure there's thousands of talented players or plenty of talented players on that team, but who's the superstar that's going to wreak havoc?
Yeah, I mean, Jack Sawyer is a guy that people really like. They have two really good defensive tackles. Again, Caleb Downs is arguably the best player on their team this side of the freshman receiver. But yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I think if you're talking to people about Ohio State, I think it's more of there's no weaknesses.
Right.
I think
exactly.
It's just,
and that's the point. Like, they're all, you've said so-and-so is really good. So-and-so is really good. So-and-so, like, they're all really good.
Yeah.
Like but oftentimes it's that superstar that makes the game defining play.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for. I don't know. I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, that's an interesting element. Yeah. You could say Ohio State is more complete, but you could say that Oregon has more star power. You could say that. Yeah. I mean, certainly at quarterback, you know, Oregon has the... Yeah, they have the better quarterback. They have a star quarterback as opposed to Ohio State, who I'm not saying Will Howard is bad, but Dylan Gabriel is better than Will Howard.
I think so.
Yep.
You mentioned Birch.
it's interesting because there's a rumor he's hurt, will play, but is hurt. So that's an interesting element. But there are other guys. I guess in a game like this, though, if Ohio State has that guy, he's going to show up.
Well, and so
and it may be, be somebody we haven't named.
When I look at it, and they're not huge names, but they're two, and when you watch them, they're two defensive tackles. So it's Ty Hamilton, and the other guy is, I think it's Ty. I think they're both Ty. I think it's Ty Williams. They have two big people movers in there. And when I look at where Oregon may have issues and have had issues, even though solidified them over the last handful of weeks, that to me, if I had to circle something, you said, where is the big plays going to come from? I don't know if big players are going to come from that, but if they're two big tackles can push the pocket and muck up that run game, we've seen it this
that's
year.
An interesting point.
That's where Oregon's going to have problems. If I had to say one matchup that worries me more than any, it's just that, because I'm not certain if the line has been fixed or if the line has played bad teams. And that's the one I want to watch. If the interior of the Oregon line can move the two ties and stay ahead of the chains, stay on target, I think Oregon's got a really good chance in this game. So that would be, and in defensive tackles, it's like, even in the national title game when they played Auburn, it was Nick Fairley made like 12 tackles, but you get defensive tackles in there and they can wreck things without.
And they just disrupt.
Yeah, they just disrupt. Yeah. So
they create. You get a defensive tackle in the backfield, he's going to create a throwaway. Yeah. He's going to create an incompletion. He's going to create a run of 0 yards. Yeah. Like that, that's an interesting point. Those are things that don't show up on the stat sheet.
Well, that's what Oregon's done so well. I love Oregon's defensive line. In fact, my favorite group so far, even though the Boise State game didn't go great, I think some of that was run fit when I look back at that, the linebackers. But my favorite group, I think, that I've seen so far of any position group, it's been Oregon's D-line. I know there's no Haloti Ngata and there's no, Igor and some of the, they've had some really good D-line there, DeForest Buckner. But in the 20 years I've been doing this, I don't think I've seen a more complete defensive line. And you look at some of the D-tackles that came in transfer portal-wise, you want to talk about game wreckers. I think that's the most underrated position in football for wrecking a game plan. And it does, like you said, doesn't always show up on the stats, but just keep an eye on the defensive tackles for both of these squads. And the defensive tackles, the interior of the line that is controlling this game, something tells me that's going to be the difference in this game.
Smart man right there. Smart man.
Well, enjoy the trip to Eugene. And whoever gets to sit next to you is a lucky person. Yeah.
That's, I'm not sure how to respond to that.
Well, I thought you were going to say that's debatable, to which I was going to agree, but.
Is someone going to, like, imagine going to Autzen, you're just some diehard Duck fan, like, imagine Schultz, and you sit down in your seats and you turn and there's Joey. Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Either that or really awkward for Joey.
Yeah, you probably hate that stuff, but other people are like, oh man, that's Joey Harrington. Should I say something?
It depends on who they're rooting for. It depends if they're cool.
Can you tell when someone's a little nervous? Like, they want to say something, but they're trying to build up the courage.
I just try and break the ice and just like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? I'm Joey. let's get this out of the way and let's have a good time.
Hey, I have a real quick anecdote question for you.
Go.
So we were at the coast a couple weekends ago, my wife and I, and we ran into a couple from Seattle. They were down dropping their kid off at Oregon. And so we got to talking to them, and the woman of the couple was asking my wife, she said, hey, I have a question for you. She said, somebody of my family is neighbors with Joey Harrington. Mm-hmm. Now, she doesn't know that I know you or that, she doesn't know me from Adam or anything. And she said, do you think it's okay? We have this debate all the time in our family. Can she ask him for an autograph?
A neighbor graph.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm guessing you know this person. I don't know if you have deduced in your head who this person is. I don't know who this person is. But my wife said no. Mm. And they kind of got into it.
Really?
Yeah, my wife was like, yeah, no, I wouldn't really be asking for...
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I would say yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal.
I think it's okay.
So the question is Joey, would that, does that bother you? I mean, would.
No.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, right?
Yeah. But I know all my neighbors. You know, I know, you know, I know everybody, you know, to say hi and have a drink on the porch. And our kids have been playing in the neighborhood. So it's not like it's like some out of the, you know, like knocking on the door out of the blue. Of course.
Right. Okay. Well,
I think context. See, here's my thing. This is my knocking on the door to ask for an autograph right out. Now, Joey taking out some trash and that person lurking in the bushes and being like, oh, hey, happened to see you out at the curb, you know, friend of a friend, big fan. Hey, could you, you know, that. See, I think context matters in this. I don't think you can go to the door to ask.
Well, no, it's right place, right time.
Right place, right time.
So if somebody.
Well, how about you shoot me a message and say, hey, my cousin in Seattle, like, would you mind signing something? And I'd say, yeah, of course, no problem. Do Come on over. Let's, you know, let's have a bourbon.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Not a clue.
Okay, good. Well, if somebody comes and asks you for an autograph that you know, some neighbor.
Seattle.
Then...
Who would have family in Seattle?
See, how do you shoot you a message? I don't have my neighbor's numbers. I can't put it on a brick and throw it through your front window. No, I don't know any neighbors.
You don't have your neighbor's phone numbers?
No.
How do you not have your neighbor's phone numbers?
Really? Like, is that a thing?
Oh, my God.
I don't have any. Do you have your neighbor's numbers, Rob?
A couple of them, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, the ones that I know and I like,
I got nothing.
I mean, I even, the guy next
to me. Carolyn, Andy, Anna.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, like, absolutely.
Well, you're an outcast, so.
Well, that is true.
Other Kimberly, normal people form relationships with their neighbors.
Interesting.
But.
John, Kirsten, kitty corner across the street from me are the parents of a kid I grew up playing Little League Baseball against.
This says something about 60, me, doesn't
he? He hit 17 home runs in a 16-game season. He was pretty dang good.
I'll be damned. You know?
We got to go. Ryan Buckley is going to kill me. He's literally going to wring my neck. Have a great time in Eugene, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mod PX. The future of building is here. Club 1080 is next on The Fan.